Unity.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. All right, good morning, everyone. We've been talking about the King and His Kingdom this summer, and we've covered a lot of stuff. This week is the last week of the series, so that's really exciting.
That doesn't mean we've covered every aspect of Jesus' kingdom and what it's like. There's always more to learn, but this is the final week that we're talking about it specifically.
That's right. And before we finish it off
and wrap it up,
before we move on
or bring it to a close.
Wait, what? That's not the right kind of close.
Just go with it. I'm doing my best here.
We need to review what we've talked about throughout the series.
But we're going to need your help, so be ready to repeat the bottom lines and our big ideas when we ask you to.
So, let's get started. Can I get a drum roll?
Hold on. That's not how we started it. We started it like this. The King and His Kingdom.
We started out by talking about the King's announcement. Jesus called people to repent, which means to turn away from sin and start following Him. This was the King's announcement.
Turn your heart back to God because the kingdom of heaven is near. Let's say that all together. Turn your heart back to God because the kingdom of heaven is near. Next, Jesus told a story about a man who threw a great banquet and invited many people to it. But when they all made excuses and didn't want to go, so he sent his servants to go tell anyone they could find that they were welcome to come to the banquet. Now you have to make sure you have proper attire to attend the banquet. You have to put on the robe of righteousness that only the king will give you. But if you're willing to accept Jesus, you can come into the banquet. If you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. We even turned it into a little song. So we're going to have Otis come on up, and he's going to do the little song.
Good morning. All right, well, Eric asked me earlier this week if I would do a reprise of the Say Yes song, kind of a 2.0, so I said absolutely, and I thought this time I'd ask my daughter Bella to come on up. Bella? All right, now, Bella, you remember how this goes, right? Okay, every time I say yes, you say yes in response, right? Okay, all right, are you ready? Okay, here we go. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. What was that? Where were you? Try it again. Okay, you ready? All right. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. Whoa, that was loud. That was good. That was better. Should we try it again? Okay. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. Whoa, wow. I'll tell you what, why don't you put this back on if you're going to do it like that. That's better. Yeah. Wow. All right. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. That's better. Okay, we'll do it like that. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to to him, say yes to Jesus, and you can enter in. All right, you got to say yes every time I say yes. Yes?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, okay. Will you say yes to him? I'll say yes to him. Will you say yes to him? I'll say yes to him. Will you say yes to him? I'll say yes to him. Say yes, say yes, say yes. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to him. Say yes to Jesus. And you can enter in. And you can enter in. Good enough. All right.
That was awesome. Can we give them another round of applause? All right. Next, we spent a number of weeks learning from the parables Jesus told in Matthew 13. And parables are just the stories that they teach us about. The parables teach us a lesson about something. So these parables teach us about the king and what the kingdom is like. The first story was about the sower and the seed. What are you doing?
I'm sowing.
No, not that kind of sowing. It means like you
throw
seeds.
Oh, okay.
What are you doing?
I'm throwing seeds.
Not at me. You throw them at the ground so that plants can grow.
But it's more fun to throw them at you. Because, you know, you're my sister.
Anyway, the point of the story was that when good seeds get planted in good soil, it produces good fruit. In the same way, God's word
in a good heart makes a great life.
Let's say it all together.
God's word in a good heart makes a great life. The next parable was about the wheat and the weeds. The weeds are really like fake wheat. It can be hard to tell the difference between the two. But in the end, the wheat has beautiful golden kernels that can be made to use like delicious breads and cakes and yummy pastries. The fake wheat has the seeds that are useless and can even make you really sick.
So the big idea,
you can't fake being a friend and a follower of Jesus. Let's say it all together. You can't fake being a friend and a follower of Jesus. You have to be genuine.
Then we looked at two very short parables. The parable of the mustard seed, which starts out very tiny and turns into a big plant that can even become as big as the stage. And it's also like the yeast that gets mixed into flour.
Yeast is what makes the bread rise and makes it nice and fluffy.
That's right. And just a little bit of yeast can affect the whole year's worth of bread for your family. And the point is,
God can turn something small into something huge. Let's say it all together. God can turn something small into something huge.
Not only that, but there's nothing we can do to keep God's kingdom from taking over. The king and his kingdom cannot be stopped.
The next week, we talked about a hidden treasure. We all dressed up like pirates.
No, we didn't.
We went off to sail the ocean blue.
That's ridiculous.
So we could find our treasure chest with gold and jewels and pearls.
What are you talking about?
Okay, fine, we didn't actually do that. But that'd be really cool if we did. What we did do is talk about treasure hidden in a field and a merchant who found a pearl of great price. When we find something like that, we should be willing to give up everything we have to get it, because it's much more valuable than anything else that we own. So, whatever we have to give up to get God's kingdom, it's worth it. Let's say it all together. Whatever we have to give up to get God's kingdom, it's worth it. Not only that, but he gave up everything he had in heaven to come down to earth and make us his own. How cool is that?
After that, we went fishing. Do you guys remember that? Yeah. Well,
we don't.
Yeah, we weren't there that week.
We were gone. But
this parable was about how a large net called a drag net would catch everything in its path, pull it to shore, and then it would get all sorted out in the end. The good fish were taken to the market, but the bad fish, not so much. Being a good fish is about getting right with God. That can only happen when we accept Jesus and choose to follow him. And the point of the story was,
want to be a good fish? You got to get right with God. Let's say it all together. Want to be a good fish? You got to get right with God. So those were the parables of the kingdom that Jesus told in Matthew 13. We also worked on a song for these stories, and it was called This Is What the Kingdom Is Like. So we're going to take them all together, and we're going to sing that.
So, I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need a lot of help. Are you ready? So this song, This Is What the Kingdom Is Like. I hit the table. It landed right on the table. That was amazing. All right. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds fell all around. All right, now you're gonna sing that with me, okay? Right? You ready to sing it? And I'm gonna warn Rob as he's doing slides, I'm probably gonna mess them all up. So I'll do my best to let you know where we're going. This is what the kingdom is like. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds fell all around. Some seeds fell on the footpath. Birds came and carried them away. Some seeds fell among the thorns. They didn't make it all the way. Some seeds fell on rocky soil, and they didn't last very long. Some seeds fell upon the good soil. They grew up big and strong. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds fell all around. At night, the enemy came and scattered bad seed with the good. In the end, the true wheat grew strong and turned out like it should. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seeds upon the ground. Seeds fell all around. It's like a tiny mustard seed. It's like a tiny mustard seed. Becomes a large plant when it's grown, or like a little bit of yeast that gets mixed all through the dough. Like treasure hidden in a field, or a pearl that the merchant finds. He says, I'll give up everything just to make you mine. To the chorus. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds fell all around. And it's like the fish. It's like when fish get pulled up when a net is thrown into the sea. Some fish are bad, but some are good, and that's what I wanna be. One more time, this is what, this is what the kingdom is like. It's like the man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds sprout all around. This is what the kingdom is like. It's like a man who scattered seeds upon the ground. The seeds fell all around. All right, you guys did great. Give yourselves a hand for keeping up with that one.
So there were three more stories that we looked at after that.
Okay, so the third one. Jesus told his disciples about a man who hired workers for the vineyard. Some he hired at the beginning of the day, some he hired in the middle, and some he hired at the very end. But because he was generous and wanted them all to have what they needed to care for their families, he paid them all the same. The ones who worked all day get a little bit jealous because God wasn't being unfair. They got exactly what they knew that they would be getting. Instead, they should have been happy that others got the same reward that they did because they all needed it.
So, bottom line was, don't be jealous when God is generous to others. Let's say it all together. Don't be jealous when God is generous to others. So, story number two. Jesus told his disciples about a bridegroom coming for his bride. The bridesmaids were all dressed up and got ready to greet him when he came that night. They all had their lamps ready to go, but the wise ones had oil for their lamps, so the flame wouldn't burn, and the foolish ones did not. They couldn't borrow oil from the wise ones because there wasn't enough to go around. They needed to get some for themselves. The groom came when they were away, and they were left out because they weren't ready when they needed to be. So the bottom line was, always be ready. The king could come at any time. Let's say it all together. Always be ready. The king could come at any time.
And the first one was, Jesus talked about how things were going to get really difficult at times for his followers. But just like we know, it's almost summer when a fig tree or any tree produces its leaves, these hard things remind us that Jesus' return is near. So we have to be strong.
Super strong!
Yeah, we have to be strong when life gets hard. And remember that the kingdom is near. So the bottom line for that one was,
Be strong when life gets hard. The king in his kingdom is near. One more time all together. Be strong when life gets hard. The king in his kingdom is near. So we've learned a lot of things that were important about Jesus and what the kingdom of heaven is like. And hopefully, you've had a lot of fun learning these things.
Because we had a lot of fun help teaching these things.
So thanks for going on this journey with us. Goodbye.
Bye.
Can we give a lot of people, Megan, Emily, who have been teaching throughout this time. They taught together today as sisters. That was kind of cool for me to see as a parent. And then Otis and his family have been, almost everyone has been up here, and the worship team has been helping out with all these things. So give everyone a big hand. That was awesome. And really thank you to all of you for helping out throughout the series. So as we wrap up, I just want to share one more thought with you about the King and His Kingdom. And it's interesting because Dan kind of hit on it a little bit earlier. He kind of hinted at some of this same idea of there's something we're looking forward to here, right? This reality for this last thought today is that it applies, though, in a lot of different things, a lot of different aspects of Scripture. There's this phrase that one of my Bible professors used to use all the time. I know that sounds really impressive when I say one of my Bible professors. I'm not trying to do that, but, you know, he used to use it all the time, and so it got kind of ingrained in my head, and I see this all the time throughout Scriptures, and the phrase that he used was already, but not yet, right? Already, but not yet. And it seems kind of contradictory, but it's not. And this idea of already, but not yet applies to the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is the King, right? He's very, very real. He came to this earth at a specific time to make himself known to us. He has already come, and we can know him, but only in part because we can't see him, and we aren't with him right now, at least not yet, right? So Jesus is the King already, but not yet in some ways. Same thing with his kingdom. Right, his kingdom is very, very real. Right, we get a taste of it in this life. Jesus' kingdom is being established already, like here on the earth. It's happening through each one of us who puts our faith and trust in Christ. But have we experienced it fully? Not yet. Not yet. We really won't ever experience its fullness in this lifetime. So his kingdom is already, but not yet. And it goes further than that. You think about any good thing that we experience in this life, whether it's beauty or love or joy or peace or strength or healing, all of these good things, Scripture tells us, comes from God. So we're already getting a taste of God, but it is nothing in comparison to what we'll experience when the kingdom of heaven is fully realized, right? So the kingdom of heaven, the King and his kingdom, are already, but not yet. Already, but not yet. Just a couple of verses about this. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 says this. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the love, the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now there's a lot there, but this passage says we have already been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We have already been made alive like Christ. We have already been raised up with Christ. We are already seated with Christ in the heavenly places. It's already happened. It's like a done deal. So in one sense, it's happened already. But we're still living in this world where there is still death and injustice and hatred and violence and sickness and depression and arrogance and pride and frustration. These things are not yet resembling Jesus' description of the kingdom very well here on earth. So there, but it says in this passage, there are these immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness that we're going to experience in the coming age. Have we gotten there? Not yet. Not yet. So in this sense, it's already, but not yet. One other verse, passage, Hebrews 2, verses 8 and 9 says, at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. Right? That describes this world. Jesus is king, but he hasn't yet taken it over. like we know that he one day will. Verse 9 says, but we see him. And it goes on to say, like, God made Jesus a little lower than the angels for a while, but crowned him with glory and honor because of his suffering and his death. So we see Jesus, like we see him, God has given him to us already and begun to establish this kingdom already. But at present, we don't see everything subject to him, at least not yet. Right? So already, but not yet. The king and his kingdom are already, but not yet. I know you're probably getting sick of that phrase, but you're going to hear it a couple more times. Think about this. Jesus already came to this earth, but his return has not yet happened. Right? Jesus' kingdom is already at hand, but it's not yet fully realized. Jesus already gave you salvation, but you have not yet experienced it. Jesus already has a place prepared for you, but you are not yet living in it. Because you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you are already a child of God, but you are not yet home. Like right now, we just have a taste or a glimpse, a morsel of the amazing thing that awaits us when we are with Jesus in his kingdom. Right? That's going to be amazing. We get glimpses of that. We get tastes of that, but we don't get the whole thing. It's going to be so much better than this. And we can all say, thank God, right? It's going to get much better than this. The king and his kingdom is something we can experience now in part, but it's something we can look forward to with great certainty and hope. So the king and his kingdom is already, but not yet. In the meantime, even though we don't experience it completely right now, our challenge is to walk through this life living by his word, trusting in him, regardless of what's going on around us, right? Regardless of what we're facing. Believing and trusting that this God that we serve, this God that we love, this God who has given his son Jesus, he's the one that is still in control. He's the one that's still in control. We're going to close our time of worship this morning if the team wants to come back up. We're going to close our time of worship this morning with one more song. It's the song, God is Still in Control. And let's sing this together as we worship, and I'll close us here in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this journey that we've been on. As we've been moving through this idea of discovering your kingdom and what it's supposed to be like, we know we don't have it all yet. We know we're not there yet. We know that one day we will experience everything that is perfect and true and good, and right now we wrestle through the life that we're going through, knowing this is, as Dan said earlier, this is not what it's going to be. But we also know that you've got this in your hands. And so we want to trust you that we have something that we look forward to, and we can be sure of that. That's the already, even though we're not there yet. And we trust you in your power, in your strength, in your sovereignty over everything. That ultimately you are truly in control. There's nothing we have to fear. And there's great hope in knowing you and trusting in you. So help us to sing with a heart that is full of gratitude and full of hope this morning, knowing that everything is in your hands. We lift this before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll close with this song.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.